Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
But I've entitled the message this morning, The Mastery of Self. So we're about in the process of closing out 1 year, starting a new year, right? That's always a good time to do some reflection how this past year went. Maybe it was a really good year for you. For many times we can look at the financial end of things, but you know, life's more than that, isn't it? Maybe you had a new child, or maybe, you know, some exciting events happened in your life, or maybe you had some health setbacks, or maybe, maybe good, maybe there's some bad change in your life. But it's a good time to reflect on the past year, what went well, what didn't go well, and then to learn from that and plan for 2019. Now, New Year's resolutions, I don't know if that's still a real big thing. I think it is, right? I think people still do that. But most people don't succeed in their New Year's resolutions because they don't set SMART resolutions. Did you know that? So you know what a SMART goal or a SMART resolution is? You can write this down. This is bonus material here. Okay, it's an acronym, so you can write SMART down this way. So S stands for specific. So your resolution or your goal has to be very specific. So the big one is I want to lose weight. Well, you know, if it's not specific enough, you don't want to just lose weight, right? Because if you keep on losing weight before, you'll be nothing, right? Right? So, hey, I want to lose 10 pounds, 20 pounds, whatever, okay? Be specific. M. Is it measurable? I don't know how to spell. M, is it measurable? So you have to be able to measure it. So I'm just going to go with the weight thing, okay? So how do I measure if I want to lose weight? Scale, how my clothes fit, things like that. You have to be able to measure it. So with other goals and stuff too, you want to have a mechanism that I can measure my progress. If you can't measure your progress, there is no way to know if you're moving towards that goal or not, okay? So whatever your goal is, you have to think, okay, how can I make it measurable? Is it attainable? Is it attainable? I mean, most of the time people set goals that are too big. You're better off to set a smaller goal and meet it than set something that is too big, okay? Is it attainable? Realistic, based upon my track record, that's R. Realistic, based upon my track record, is it realistic, okay? So, you know, if it's 2-3 times beyond what I've ever done before, that's probably too much. But you just have to make sure it's realistic. And then T stands for tangible or time. Can it be realized in a certain amount of time? Okay, tangible. So those are SMART goals. All right, and if you set a SMART goal, usually you have a pretty good chance of realizing it. Okay, and so that goal sheet, you can take that home, you can throw it in the trash, use it for fire starter, or you can just kind of pencil things out, maybe put it in your Bible, put it someplace on the refrigerator where you see that. And you can prioritize those things. Maybe you want to take a trip to France. I don't know why France, but okay. That's not too far away from Germany. I've been to France, and so they just take the train back and forth, right, to Germany and France. It's a hop, skip, and a jump. All right. But so you want to go to France. Well, that means you probably need to plan. You need to get the vacation time, but you also probably need to get some money saved, right, unless you just have that $10,000 just sitting there, right, for the airfare. You have to eat there, you know. We did it once, but we did it very much on the cheap, but it was a fun time. So, but you need to plan for that thing. So planning those things ahead is a good thing. So there's some areas there you look at that. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. Another key component in reaching your goals is you need relationships in your life that provide S-E-A, right? And I've shared this a few different times, so you guys all know what that means. S stands for support, right? You need support, right? You need somebody in your life that's going to support you and kind of be there. And the E stands for encouragement, right? So they have to be there to support you and encourage you. and help you along the way. And the last one is accountability, okay? That they will hold you accountable. And it's an accountability that you are asking for. It's not like they're, you know, saying, you're going to get that done, right? But they're there. And a lot of times what works out good is having peers that you do that with, because then you're holding each other accountable. You're on the same plane, on the same level. And so if you want sustainable change, C is important, SEA. All right, another key ingredient in reaching goals then is the virtue of self-discipline. Have you ever called self-discipline a virtue? I don't think I have, but it is, right? It's a fruit of the Spirit. It is a virtue, self-discipline or self-control. And so Harry Truman said this, one of our former presidents, late former presidents, said, in the reading, the lives of great men, I have that, he goes, I have that the first victory that they won was over themselves. Okay, self-discipline with all of them came first. If you want to be a great leader, you must be able to lead who? Yourself. If you can't lead yourself, you can't be a great leader. If you want to be good at what you do, you must first develop the disciplines to refine the gifts that God has given you to excel. So if you want to live a healthy life that is good for your body, soul, and mind, you must embrace disciplines that promote those ideals. So self-control and self-discipline is an interesting study within Scripture. So as we go to God's Word, I want us just to invite God's presence here. And I hope you all brought your steel-toed boots this morning. Anybody bring their steel-toed boots this morning? Might step on our toes, mine too. So, all right, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your Word. And we just pray that you would take it by your Holy Spirit, make it alive for us, let it speak to us, let it challenge us, allow us to be changed and transformed by it. We give you the thanks this day. We ask it in your name. And everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right, Proverbs. We're going to hit a couple of passages here, Proverbs 25, 28. It might be on the screen there. It says, like a city whose walls are broken through, get that picture in your mind, a city and the walls are all broken down, is a person who lacks self-control. In other words, because of their lack of self-discipline or self-control, their life is in ruins because there is no boundaries, there's no protection in their life, and so their life is in chaos. Okay? Paul says in Galatians 5:23, there's 22 and 23, but he discusses the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, you know, there's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And then the last one, did I get them all? Last one, self-control. Gentleness and self-control. Okay? And that word for self-control, there is, I'm going to say this in the Greek, in kraisha. And it is a key word within the New Testament. It is used quite a few times. And so it is a key thought. The idea is self-control, but it is a virtue of being able to master your desires, your passions, and your emotions. Being able to master your desires, passions, and emotions. So a lot of times in Scripture, when the Bible is talking about self-control, it is keeping sometimes our passions in check, especially when it comes to sexuality and things like that, but it can do with other things that fall into temptation, right? And living a life of moderation, of self-control. But it's also those idea of emotions, because often emotions dictate our behavior, don't they? Don't they? Right? Right? Yes, they do. So we were at Super Saver this past week. Amy and I were shopping, and it was one of those cold, dreary days. And so I saw these baguettes. Remind me of France. Okay, when we were over there, that's what we lived off of when we were there. They had these baguettes. So I bought some, you know, and we ate them all, both of those, I think. I think Daniel was home too, so he helped us out too. But they tasted good, but they're not the best thing for a diet, are they? But they sure taste good, and they're comforting, right? Emotions, right? Emotions influence us. So many times when we're shopping, we can be influenced by our emotions, right? Even in other things that are more of moral moral consequence, often emotions. We're feeling lonely. We're feeling depressed. It can then take us into other things that morally are wrong. All right? So in another place, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control, or sound mind. But there, a different Greek word there is used there. But it's the idea of keeping, again, admonishing and calling us to soundness of mind, to moderation, to self-control in how we live our lives, okay? So it is definitely a principle within Scripture that is reinforced. Many times I think it has to do with morality, but it has to do with all of our life. So the scripture that I want to land on, though, is 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. We spoke on this, I think, earlier this year. It says, Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize to win, right? Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, discipline, right? You're going through training that is going to get you there to where you need to be so you can compete. They do not get a crown. Do they not get a crown that will not last? In other words, it's just very temporary. But we do it to get a crown that lasts forever. Therefore, I do not run, Paul speaking of himself, as someone running aimlessly. Okay, chicken with his head cut off, right? Right? You ever feel like you're running around, don't know where you're headed? A lot of activity, right? Busy, busy, busy. And the idea is, you know what? Being busy isn't hard to do in life. Being busy doing the right thing, that's a little bit harder. Okay? Paul says, I'm not running around aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air, hitting nothing. No, I strike a blow to my own body and make it a slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. He's sensing that Paul is calling himself and he's calling others to self-control and self-discipline within their own life, because he understands the consequences of not doing that. Every day in the news, right, we hear of people that have lacked self-control or self-discipline in their life, and so they ruin their careers, they ruin their families. In the religious communities, we know of people where ministries are harmed because of that and destroyed. And so Paul's well aware of the consequences of doing ministry but lacking self-control, because we're all human. We all have weakness. And so if we don't have those boundaries in place, we don't have the discipline in place, it is easy to cross those boundaries and get ourselves into trouble. All right? So I'm going to take some of our points this morning. They're in your program there. There's four of them, but several of them come. I think they all come. I don't catch them all, but come from Developing the Leader Within You by John Maxwell. It's the 2.0 version, so it's the upgraded. I have the older one too. But he talks about self-discipline. He calls it the price tag of leadership. In other words, if you don't have self-discipline in your life, that is the cost if you want to be a leader. Okay, self-discipline. But he highlights a few principles there that I want us to build on. The first one is that self-discipline enables one to go uphill. It enables somebody to go uphill. And the point he makes is that anything worthwhile is uphill, right? Most of the goals, if you sit down and do these goals, it's going to require something of you to make sacrifices or to make a commitment. You're going to have to save money, right? If you want to accomplish this, that's sometimes hard. You see this, oh, I want to buy that, I want to buy this. But if you really have your goal set on, hey, I need to buy this, it means that you have to make some sacrifice along the way to save, right? Anything worthwhile is going to be uphill. It's going to take effort, it's going to take time, it's going to take energy, it's going to take sacrifice. If you want to live a healthy life, you have to be consistent in your exercise and you have to eat right. Okay? That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Right? Especially this time of the year, right? Yeah, it's a little bit hard. But there is that sacrifice part of it. If you want to reach some professional goals, right? Some of you are in college and or graduate school, there is sacrifice that you make to achieve some of those goals, right? It's uphill. But self-discipline allows you to make that journey uphill. Everything worthwhile is uphill, and self-discipline is needed to make good on our intentions. It paves the way for those things to become a reality. Edgar A. Gust has this poem. You maybe have this, maybe even have some of you have it on the wall. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, and when the road you're trudging seems uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, can you relate? Yep. And you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When the care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, and every one of us sometimes learns. And many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up through the pace, even the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night came down. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And when you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. That's good, isn't it? Dag Hammarskjöld, he's my favorite guy. He's the late Secretary General of the United Nations, wrote the book Markings. It was his journalings. He was a mountain climber. He said, when the morning's freshness has been replaced by the weariness of midday. So imagine you're going out in the morning, you're hiking a mountain, it's cool, it's refreshing, all of a sudden now the heat is beating down on you, okay? And he says, when the leg muscles quiver under the strain, I've felt that climbing mountains, the climb seems endless, and suddenly nothing will go quite as you wish, right? You've had those days, right? He says, it is then that you must not hesitate. You must not quit. Another mountain climber says, you never conquer the mountain. You only conquer yourself. That's pretty good. Amy and I watched a movie put about Walt Disney here this last week. It came out probably about 8-10 years ago. Secretariat. It's about the racehorse, right? How many seen that? Right? It's a good movie. But it's about the American thoroughbred racehorse who won in 1973, a few years ago. But he became the first Triple Crown winner in 25 years. So there's three races there, and only a few horses have won all three of those. The Belmont Stakes is the last one, and it's the longest race. It's about a mile and a half long. Secretariat, his bloodline, the father was very quick, but most of his offspring didn't have the stamina to go the distance. And so nobody thought he would do well at that level. But he won the first two races. He'd always come from behind. He'd always be in last place. And then that last lap, half lap, he would always just race to the front and win. They came up to the Belmont Stakes, the longest of all of them, and the owner and the trainer were discussing, you know, should we rest him or should we push him? And they just said, you know, it was a gamble. They didn't know what to do, but they decided to push him just because they felt like he still had more in him. And so they pushed him hard during the training just to see what was there. And they came to the Belmont Stakes, and he came out of the gate, and he came out, and he was right in first place with the other lead horse, and this concerned the owners because they didn't feel like he had the stamina to win the race. And they thought if he went out too fast, he would fall behind, right? But that's not what happened. He was tied in first place, and not only did he stay in first place, all of a sudden he started pulling away. And at the end of the race, he ended up winning by 31 lengths. Okay, that is like unheard of in racing at that level. And still today, it's still seen as one of the greatest races of all time. But see, that horse did not get there by taking the easy route. It came through that training. And anything worthwhile is always uphill, isn't it? You know, we all need a Sabbath. Studies will show that a Sabbath is good for us, but it doesn't hurt for us to push ourselves the rest of the 5 to 6 days a week. So what are some of the mountains you need to climb in 2019? I don't know. That's between you and God, maybe you and your spouse, your family. What are some mountains you need to climb? Maybe some of them you need to climb. It's not an option in your life. Maybe there's some of them you want to climb. But what are some of the things that you need? I can guarantee you they're not just going to happen. You're not going to wake up the next day and it's like, da-da, they're there, right? It's going to be uphill. Just get that into your brain. But anything worthwhile is always uphill. All right, number two. Self-discipline makes the difference between temporary success and sustained success. You know, there's a lot of things that you can have for a temporary moment, and sometimes you can even get lucky, right? You can win the jackpot. And balloon popped there, huh? You can win the jackpot, you know, right? Win the lottery. Some people that do that, they lose it, right? Right away. Temporary success, because they don't have the disciplines in their life of earning money to keep that income flowing. All right? It's not the same as building that wealth compared to as inheriting it. Self-discipline provides the platform for sustained success compared to temporary success. One of the things, so I've lost some weight. It's been a little harder here, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And now Doan is closed for a week, so that doesn't help either. So, but most people lose weight for a year or two. They can lose the weight, but for them to lose it beyond a year or two, then most of the time they gain it back because the disciplines, the lifestyle disciplines, haven't been integrated. It has to be a change of lifestyle. C.S. Lewis said, this is more on a moral note, just in the Christian life, he says the Christian way is harder, but easier. He says, he compares it to that Christian disciplines are difficult, but in the long run, it makes your life easier. Does that make sense? So when I substitute teach in the schools, often I'll see students, and they often give them homework to do when I'm substituting, especially at the high school level. So we have some high school teachers here. But often I'll see them doing their homework. Instead of doing their own homework, I've even seen it now, they'll just text it. So I had one lady, she had a text from another friend that took a picture of the worksheet. So she was just copying it right off the text, right? She was just doing it. And I said, that's not helping you out at all. I mean, you can copy that and write it down. So that's the easy route, doing that. But see, you make it harder on yourself because when it comes to the test or when it comes to life, you haven't learned the work, and you make it harder on yourself in the long run. The idea is that if you embrace the hard things now, it makes life easier down the road. Another guy says, the short-term easy leads to long-term difficult, while the short-term difficult leads to long-term easy. And so self-discipline is about being in control of our emotions, being in control of who we are, of ourself, so that we can do what is best for us in the long term. I don't know if you watched the Alabama-Oklahoma game last night, but there were some really stupid penalties in the game. And stupid because it just all had to do about emotion, right? Players lost control of their emotions and they did stupid things. And it can really hurt in a big game like that, right? And when you play at that level, it's an emotional game. Okay? You have to have some passion. But you have to keep those emotions in check. There has to be that self-control to be able to play and keep those emotions in check. We need to do that as well, just as we live our life. Self-discipline will set us up for long-term success. It's hard in the get-go. It's hard developing some of those disciplines within our life. But once we learn those disciplines, then it sets us up for the long-term easy. That makes sense? I think that's good stuff. That leads into number three. Number three. Self-discipline makes habit your servant instead of your master. It makes habit your servant instead of your master. Now, sometimes we talk about habits. There's good habits and there's bad habits, right? many times we talk about bad habits, but there are really good habits and there are bad habits. This is what Dennis Kimbrough, he's an inspirational speaker, and he wrote this in the Los Angeles Sentinel paper. He says, "I am your constant companion." You have to guess who this is. "I am your greatest helper or your heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I am completely at your command. Half of the things you do, you might as well turn over to me, and I'll be able to do them quickly and correctly. I am easily managed. You merely must be firm with me and show me. Show me exactly what you want something done, and after a few lessons, I'll do it automatically. I am the servant of all great men, and alas, of all great failures as well. Those who are failures, I have made failures. Those who are great, I have made great. I'm not a machine, though I work with all the precision of a machine, plus the intelligence of a man. You may run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I'll place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? A habit." Yeah. A habit. We all have good habits, and we all have bad habits that harm us. Ones that bless us, one that harm us. The key is developing habits that benefit us, whether it is a consistent workout time, a consistent devotional time, a breakfast that kickstarts your day. Let habits serve you instead of master you. Now it says, how long does it take to develop a new habit? 3 weeks? 21 days? Yeah, 21 days is the minimum. Some research is even saying that it's up to 66 days, okay? So three times. So we are having 21 days of prayer and fasting. What a great opportunity to develop some new habits. Did I just set you guys up? I think I did. If you need to get your prayer, devotional life up and going, if you can do it for 21 days, you're setting yourself up. Before long, it becomes the habit that serves you, right? And maybe you need to let go of some habits in your life. You know, you can replace, because you can break an old habit, but you have to replace it with a new one, right? If you don't replace it with a new one, then it's pretty hard to break that old habit, all right? So let habit, make habit your servant instead of your master. Develop some good habits in your life that'll bless your health, your spiritual health, your family, life, whatever the case may be. Let those habits serve you. All right, number four, last one. Self-discipline is developed and not given. You're not born with self-discipline. Now, some people may be more self-disciplined than others. I think there's probably some difference in temperament there. I think people that are more emotional are going to have a little more difficult time with self-discipline. People that are more analytical, I think, have a little easier time with, because the will, you're operating more out of your will instead of your emotions, okay? But the key is that nobody is born with self-discipline. It must be developed in our life, and we must allow the Holy Spirit to develop that in our life. You notice that Paul, in that verse that we read, he took steps to develop that training, that discipline within his own life. We can do that as well. Now, a great mechanism that we have in our country is the military, right? And you go to boot camp, and then one of the things they're going to, if you don't have self-discipline when you go in, you're going to probably have it when you come out, right? And they have a training that you go through. And probably at the top of our military is the Navy SEALs. So when I, the last class I took on site at Regent University a year and a half ago, I had several Navy chaplains in my class. I had a couple in that class specifically, but there's about three or four of them that I've had over my different classes. And I wanted to go to the Norfolk Naval Base, is just right by Virginia Beach there. And there's a memorial there at one of the bases there that is dedicated to the USS Cole. I don't know if you remember the USS Cole, but it was hit by a terrorist attack. They had that inflatable. It was stationed over in the Middle East. And the terrorists came up and this inflatable rammed into the side of the ship, exploded, and just blew a big hole in the side of the USS Cole. Well, yep, there I am. And One of the guys that is listed, I think he's listed right about right in here, right there. He was 30 years old, is Kevin Rux, but he was a friend growing up when I was junior high age, about high school age. Yeah, there he is, Kevin Sean Rux. And so he had served his time in the military, but he stayed on. I think he was good at what he did. He was an engineer, but he was one of the guys that was killed in that. And so that's kind of, I kind of wanted to go see that. I couldn't go on to the base because most of our bases nowadays, whether Air Force, Navy, or whatever, you have to have clearance to go onto the bases. And so it was great being with this Navy chaplain. He took me right on there. You know, he scanned his card, and we went in there, and we saw that. Got to see the Mercy ship that was heading to Haiti. Is right, not Haiti, but Puerto Rico. It's right when the hurricane had hit Puerto Rico and devastated the island. The Mercy ship was ready to leave the port there. They're preparing and getting that ready. So I got to see, and they had a ton of aircraft carriers there. But the last place he took me, he not only showed me the big base, but then he took me to a smaller one where he was actually stationed, and it is where all the Navy SEALs train. And so I got to go on there and got to see hovercrafts. He showed me them, and that was pretty cool, and got to be on there. But the Navy SEALs, we know that they are the ones that were commissioned and got Bin Laden, and you know, there's TV shows based off of them. But I want to show just a short video clip that is by an admiral, McRaven. And he shared a speech. I'm not going to share all of his speech, but William McRaven, this was back in 2014 at the University of Texas to 8,000 students. But he shared a message, and I want to share just a small sliver of that. And we need somebody to catch the lights there. And we'll show that. And this ties in with this idea that self-discipline is not given, it is developed. All right. He goes on from there. It's a great, you can look it up on the internet, on YouTube. And he even has a book entitled Make Your Bed. But you know, that seems like a small thing, making your bed, right? But I like the way he puts it, that one thing leads to the other. You know, and I think a lot of times when we talk about something like self-discipline, and again, we're thinking too big. And sometimes we need to just start making those small changes in our life, because then those small changes lead to bigger changes in our life. And those victories, those small victories, give us momentum to keep going on with the bigger things. Does that make sense? If you start off too big, you're going to fail, okay? And he has another one in there called the sugar cookie. And so that's, I don't know, like 7 or 8 on his 10. The sugar cookie is that they would be dressed in their uniforms, and regardless of how perfectly you're dressed, the commanders would find something wrong. And so in punishment for that, you'd have to go out into the ocean, get wet, and roll in the sand. And you had to stay that dressed that way all that, you know, the rest of the day, you know, sand all over you and falling off of you. But he says the point of that exercise is that just to handle failure, that there's always going to be failure in your life. You have to get yourself back up and keep going. And in our culture, we don't do very well with failure. We fail and we want to stay down. And in that military mindset, they want to get that in there. Yes, you're going to fail, but you have to get back up and keep going. You can't quit. You can't give up, right? In closing, the little things matter, even if it's making your bed. You can't change the bigger things until you start on the small things. Begin with some small things in your own life that move you towards where you want to be. Another great book out there is The Power of Story, but you know, what is your story? You can write out what your story is right now. Describe your story. Now, the question is, will your story get you to where you want to be? And often it won't. And so what are the things you need to change in your life to get to where you want to be, to change your story? Maybe it has to do with spiritual things. Maybe it has to do with health things. Maybe it has to do with just how you organize your life. I don't know. But what is your story? And where do you want it to take you? You only have the power to change it. and God working through your life. Nobody else, you can't change, you know. We can't change each other, right? That doesn't work. We have to be willing to change ourselves and to work within our own life. Secondly, if you fall off your horse, get back on. Learn to fail. Learn from the process, let it make you better. Don't give up easily. Develop some grit. Learn that the short-term hard makes the long-term easy. And another way to put that is to pay now and play later, or play now and pay later, all right? Last, mastery of self is not easy, but God has given us His Holy Spirit. And it's one of the fruit of the spirits that I believe He wants to impart within our life. And the Holy Spirit is, the Greek word is, He's called the Paraclete. That's one of the words given to Him in the Greek. And the only reason I share that is that the para means that He's the one that is called alongside to be our helper. Okay? So we use paras in our schools. They're the ones that are called alongside to help teachers out. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is the one called alongside to be our helper, to help us live out the Christian life, to fulfill the mission that God has given us as the body of Christ and as one called by Him. And He is able to help us in our lives. Amen? Self-discipline. I want to close with some prayer, and then if those that are going to help out with prayer, if you'd make your way forward, but I want to lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to have some music, Gracefully Broken. They're going to play that. But if you would just take time to reflect, allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to your heart and life when the music is playing. And then if you have prayer this morning, you could come forward. But just let us look to the Lord in prayer at this moment. Father, we just thank You for this day, dear God. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Lord God, and I pray that all of us here probably have things that we want to tackle within our own lives. Some of those things we've failed a bunch of times, and we just think that it's a mountain that we can't climb. But Father, I pray that, and there are some things that maybe we want to tackle, we want to climb, and we want to conquer, but there's maybe other things that we desperately need to, that it's not a maybe of if we should, it's a matter of that we need to in our lives. And especially in the area of morality, Scripture makes it clear that, Lord, we need self-control in our life so that we can live a Christian life. We need that self-control in our life so that You are glorified in all that we do. So, Father, this morning, I just pray by Your Holy Spirit that You speak to our lives. And it begins with inviting You into our heart and our life as our Lord and our Savior, saying, God, just come into my life and forgive me my sins. Be the Lord of my life. Lord, that's the first step. The second step is just allowing You to have reign in our life, following the leading of the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit and not with the flesh, but to let You dictate our life and to follow Your direction. Is it easy? And Lord, I don't think it's always easy. It is hard. But if we can get that, the hard, short-term hard down, it becomes then easier in the long run. We make it easier in ourselves as we yield our life to You. So, Father, this morning I pray that You would just speak to our hearts and our lives. We give You the thanks and the praise. In Your name we ask. Amen. Amen. Those who are going to help with prayer are going to come forward. Reflect upon the words of the song as it plays, and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and then we'll close, do the final benediction. Amen. Praise God. All of us, we're just gracefully broken before You, Father. And Father, I pray that you, as we start off a new year this week, Lord God, that You just go before us and let Your glory, let Your strength be evident on our brokenness, Father, and our failures and on our victories and our dreams, our plans, Lord God, and even just as life makes changes that we can't control. Father, just in all that, I just pray that You would bring the pieces together. Just as we yield our life to You, Father, that You can make something beautiful out of it. You can change, You can transform us, and You can make us into who You've called us to be. Father, we give You the thanks. We give You the praise. We ask it in Your name. And everybody said, amen. Praise You, God. Amen. Praise God. Greet each other as you leave this morning. and try to pry out of what's and get one goal for next year.